You're listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast with me, Rachel Bartlett. Think about the volume of content your newsroom creates each day, week, month and year. Could you be doing more with what you produce to give content or even some of the data within it a new purpose beyond the archives? In this week's podcast, we look at some of the different ways publishers are working to repurpose content in a way that offers new editorial or commercial opportunities. At The Drum, for example, which reports on the marketing sector, steps have been taken to try and do more with its content being published online. The Drum's journalists, for example, will tag and link to companies within articles, which in turn feeds a database. Nick Creed, co-founder and digital director of The Drum, explains more.
We are a news and information publication and online resource for the marketing services community. We're uploading about 50 news items a day. Some of those are kind of larger expanded pieces. A lot of them are just news pieces. And when the team are doing that, during the course of the upload, they're also tagging the stories and linking them to a database we've got of companies in the system. And also, we can also link that to users in the system as well. So what happens is that we can then surface that information in different ways later on.
One example of how this can be then used, as shared by Nick, was to gather data on company awards and then uncover who is leading the way within different categories, with the information then delivered via company pages populated by the database.
What we want to do in the future is to really provide a service for users when they're coming onto the site, not just to look at the news content, but also then to dig deeper into that content and look at what's behind it. The companies that are mentioned in it go and look at what they're doing, and then when they go to those pages, they'll see other related content that's linked to that particular company, related events that are linked to that company, related users that are linked to that company. And when they go into each of these sections, they'll be then presented with other information, possibly linking to brands as well, that we can kind of organize. So we're taking a user from not just looking at a news item, but then for them, giving them the tools for them to dig deeper and look at that in more detail and be able to make sense of the news item to a certain degree.
By collecting the data centrally, as opposed to it only existing within published articles over time, it could also help journalists at The Drum spot new patterns and trends, which could spark news leads they may otherwise not be able to see.
Journalists are, their job is now much more about analysing the data that's out there and making sense of it. And I think, as we're gathering the data for our specific sector, they'll definitely use that to build context around what they're talking about and pull out relevant information to talk about.
In Brazil, Veja magazine keeps digital copies of its title, and back in 2011, it decided to dive into its past coverage to build an interactive data visualization, documenting the biggest scandals in the country.
Especially in Brazil, you have a lot of cases, and when you first start to look into it, you kind of, you don't know where to start. In Veja magazine, we have a very solid base to look at. We have something we can trust in. It's very solid information. It's information we can trust in. So it was already there, It was digitalized. It was available to us. So we just established the date, 1985. It was Sarney's government. We decided to start by there. And then we just decided that it would be safe, to stick with our archive because it's information we can trust.
That was the editor of Veja's website, Carolina de Gama Farina. She explains how they search through the past content.
We have our ways to research for keywords and everything, but we read a lot. We had to read because we needed to understand in order to can write about it. So it was not only like a copy paste thing, you know. We had to understand. We had to learn what happened. We had to see what happened to those people. So to those characters we were talking about. So it was not only like keywords and everything. We had to know exactly what was going on. So we read pretty much everything that we put on there to write the text.
And the past reporting was not just used to highlight cases of interest, but the level of coverage was also used to determine the significance of each scandal.
We decided to start with the scandals that had more covers in the magazine and more pages in the magazine. So we used a lot of the magazine archive to establish how important a scandal was. So the importance of a scandal was the importance of that the magazine attributed to the scandal back then, you see. So a scandal back in 1990, how many covers it got in the magazine? Like 10 covers, like 5 covers? How many pages it got? How many times we talked about it? So based on that, we established the importance of that scandal. And the most important, we put on the scandal matter.
And finally, the opportunities to repurpose content and data in new ways can also lead to new commercial opportunities. In August, investigative site Xaro decided to look at how it could repurpose the data it was already collecting for editorial reasons, as Editor-in-Chief Mark Watts explains.
We decided that the most fruitful area for us to concentrate in terms of looking for subscribers was to seek subscribers specifically for what we call add-on data services, rather than for the website overall. So we have been creating an add-on data service in the same breath, as it were, as creating editorial content. And we thought that that was where our efforts in terms of sales were best placed.
The first iteration of this approach came out of Xaro's insolvency index. Mark explains how the data used to compile the index has now been developed to establish a new revenue stream.
We decided that besides producing editorial content with the sort of headline numbers that kind of reported on the changing patterns of insolvencies throughout the UK, was to essentially offer to subscribers access to the underlying data. So it enables subscribers to the Xaro Insolvency Index to get a sort of daily rundown of what companies are going through the insolvency process. And if people want to be able to break that down by quite narrow sectors, industrial sectors, as well as breaking it down by geographic area.
Mark said one of the key things for publishers trying to provide such services is to get people on board with good data skills, which are required for both sourcing and delivering the information.
We're using very specialist data journalists to accumulate the data, and it's essentially drawn from a mixture of sources from the London Gazette, the Edinburgh Gazette and the Belfast Gazette, which publish insolvency notices every day. But we're combining that with information about the relevant companies from Companies House that it makes it possible to work out, to see, as it were, very easily in a spreadsheet, companies in a specific sector. So the spreadsheet that subscribers receive have against every company the specific sector that they operate in or have been operating in. So that means that if you're interested in a particular sector, you can just filter the spreadsheet just to focus on that. And in essence, this is a kind of automated process, but it takes sort of very specific sort of data journalistic skills or just data gathering skills to one, gather it in the first place, and two, organize it in a way that makes it easy for the end user.
But he added, the flow of information and access to data online means there's a growing opportunity for new sites, particularly those which gather extensive data on specific subjects in the course of their editorial work, to do more than publish articles and actually build new subscription offerings.
In this age of open data, in which public bodies, government in the broader sense of that word, is increasingly making the data that they hold available for anyone to scrutinize or organize and manipulate in one way or the other, the scope for this kind of thing has hugely increased. And there are all sorts of people out there who are looking to make use of that underlying data for add-on data services. And I suppose there's a particular attraction for us as an investigative website, which partly relies on data journalism for its editorial content. Of course, we find stories in other ways too, but there's a great attraction in being able to combine that sort of data journalism with a commercial application. I suppose that is quite innovative.
These are just a few examples of the ways new sites can repurpose content and in the process not only unearth new editorial offerings, but potentially activate new revenue streams which may otherwise go undiscovered. You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast.